Tzahorayim Tovim. Good afternoon, everybody. So, unfortunately, the Chilek Hevi Abi Omer is hijacked currently. So, I'm going to be forced to do this by memory. So, but I like to do it.
Same thing.
Try my best. Mezat Hashem. So, there's a Gemara. The Gemara says, Masechet Kiddushin, that you have Daf Lamed Amud Bet. The Gemara says, Imri Na Achotiyat. Yeah, you have to tell Chokmah. Imri La Chokmah Achotiyat. You have to say, Chokmah has to be, the Chokmah Tatorah has to be like your sister. The Gemara says, just like a person, if you ask him, can you marry your sister? No! You're able to answer the question, Tach, immediately. That's a person's, all of a person's idiot, Tatorah has to be so crystal clear that you don't even, you don't flinch for a second. Somebody asks you a Shaila and Tatorah, boom! You're able to do it. That's what we should be. Again, that's a lifelong pursuit. So, Mikon Makom, yesterday we started speaking about some of the Shitot terms, industry terms, of different kinds of meat in the industry. This was, I said yesterday, we try to do some series on halachot and things that are practical, sometimes even controversial. So we like to do that. We don't like controversy. We like dealing in halacha with things that others might not like to touch because they're controversial. You know what I'm saying? Other people might be afraid. I'm not afraid to touch it. Because of MS and because in the Torah, like I told you yesterday, nothing is taboo in Torah. In Torah, nothing's untouchable. If it's Torah, and we learn it, and we do it, and we figure out what's the emet, and we go with it all the way. If you have the emet, you never have to be afraid. Shemalka? Yeah, there's a pasuk in Yishle. Emet kene al timkor. Always, when you do business, you buy and sell. There's one schora, says Shlomo HaMelech, only buy, don't sell. Emet. Only emet. Pasuk in Mishle. Mikol makom tikhtov. Emet kene al timkor. And he says, Mikol makom, there is... Yesterday we started speaking about the different... So we said, why Shechitat Bet Yosef a little bit of a misnomer?
Because it means...
Because it has nothing to do with Shechita. What does it have to do with? It has to do with a bdika. It has to do with a bdika of a trefa or sircha on the lungs that Maran about the mahut, about the essence of the trif, of the sircha, that Maran is more machmir, the Ramah is more mekel. We did say that it's not, you know, completely Maran being machmir and the Ramah being mekel. What was Maran mekel on with regards to the lungs?
Surface area
of where such sirchot would be problematic according to Maran is much smaller, whereas according to the Ramah would be bigger. Now, nevertheless, we said that basar that's kasher according to the Ramah goes by what name in the industry today?
Glatt.
No.
Basar kasher.
That's one. So what's basar glatt? We said there's a middle level of what the Chatam Sofer considered to be between the kasher and halak according to Maran. Now, according to Maran is easy, at least conceptually. What's Maran's, at least in that area of the lung that's most crucial to him, what does Maran say it has to be? It has to be chalak, yeah? No sirchot, no big ones, no small ones, no flexible ones, no non-flexible. It has to be clean of sirchot. Kach da'at Maran. Nevertheless, the Ramah is a little bit more mekel on that specific sircha. He says if it's very small. Impliable, the da'at Ramah, shalaki. Now, the Chasam Sefer's Chiddush, which is... the Chatam Sofer's Yartza was just a week ago on Cafe Betishri. Anyway, some Sefer says that, and they have a Kabbalah today among Shochate Ashkenaz, that's what they call glat. Well, glat is a little bit of a misnomer because glat just means chalak in Yiddish, but it's like their chalak as opposed to our chalak. What's their chalak?
Two or less
in the non-crucial areas when they're very thin and come off very easily. That's what they call glat, and they'll market that as glat. Now, we started speaking about yesterday that there are several hashgachot on the market that will include, or let's call, broaden their spectrum of glat to include what may not otherwise have been Bet Yosef according to Arashita, and that exists. It's a fact. You have to seek out which one. Now, they're entitled to call it Bet Yosef. Is it legitimately Bet Yosef according to Arashita? Maybe, maybe not. If they ask you, Rav, we said these are things that you have to find out. But don't think, don't be naive to think that anything that is stamped or labeled Bet Yosef is necessarily everything, because there's just, Shochatim said, there's just too much for sale. It doesn't make sense statistically, especially depending on where the animal comes from. Now, that was basically a quick summary of yesterday's shir. Today, I want to talk to you that although Maran used very harsh language with regards to those who have the practice to even gently rub off sirchot. Yeah, what did Maran, what language did Maran use, and which posek did he borrow that language from? Borrowed from the Rashba, Tshuvat HaRashba, and he says what? Karov keilu ma'achil terefot leYisrael. Says it's as if he's feeding terefot leYisrael. So Maran used a very, very sharp lashon. Now, you should know a little bit of historical background. About I'd say 70 years ago, in the we'll call it the Yeshuva Yashan of Yerushalayim, which was right about when the modern state of Israel was being formed, that's when there were different shechita houses in Yerushalayim, some under Sfaradim, some under Ashkenazim. The Rabbanim of the city got together, namely Hagaon Rav Ben Tzion Meir Chai Uziel, Rav Mishpate Uziel, who was the Rishon Letzion at the time, and also Hagaon Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who Maran Zichron Baruch considered one of his Rebbeim, Gaon Atzum. He was his Rosh Kollel in Kollel. So he was the Rebbe of Yerushalayim, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. They got together and they said, we cannot have a situation where at the time, it wasn't 50-50, but Yerushalayim was almost equally inhabited by Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. We can't have a situation where there's two different kashriyot, some are eating this, some are eating that. Rav Frank agreed. He says, you know what? We're going to make even the Shochatim Ashkenazim and the Botkim Ashkenazim in Yerushalayim. They accepted, you know what? We're going to make all the basal chalak ledat Maran Bet Yosef. Now, what did he mean by that? Obviously, the chumrot of both. Chumrah shel Maran and the Chumrah shel Rama, so that there's not. It gets very, when there's sectarianism, we eat this, you eat that, it gets very. You see the foresight that the Gdolim 70 years ago, you can't have different communities eating different things in Shechap. Mine is kasher, yours is pasul. And therefore, he said, you know what? He said, and it's not something that should be taken lightly. He says, you know what? The Ashkenazim will bend on this one. Says, look at that. He says, the Ashkenazim will, especially since Eretz Yisrael, Atrei Demaran, Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. Eretz Yisrael is under the halachic jurisdiction of whom?
Sfarnim.
Well, I wouldn't say Sfarnim, but Maran HaBet Yosef. That was where he lived and wrote and gained his halachic acclaim throughout the world. It's from Yerushalayim, from Tzfat, but Eretz Yisrael at large. So Rav Frank Alav Shalom, by the way, I think it happens to be Rav Sachs's great-grandfather. So Ya'amer Lizchuto Alav Shalom, he says, you know what, the Ashkenazim, we're going to take this upon. We say, Kulam, everybody in Yerushalayim, including Ashkenazim, everybody's going to eat halak bet Yosef. That was his, and it worked for a while.
It fell apart.
It wasn't sustainable for several different reasons. I don't want to get into all of them. But look, that was Rav Frank and Rav Ozien together. They made this thing, and it was a tremendous idea. Now, I should point out, as takif as Maran seems to be on this issue, historically, and takif means like strong-worded and strong-minded on this issue. You see, he uses very harsh rhetoric. Maran says, "Kilu ma'achil terefot leYisrael is not a joke. Kilu ma'achil terefot leYisrael." It's a very, very heavy statement. Now, that being said, Agaon Kaf HaChaim in Siman Lametet. If you look in Saif Yod, the Kaf HaChaim in several of the otiyot over there. Plus, not only Kaf HaChaim, Agaon the last chelik of Or LeTzion to come out is Or LeTzion chelik he. Chelik he discusses in Yored De'ah. He brings down over there that there were historically several communities among Aidot HaMizrach that weren't so makpid on Chalak Bet Yosef. In spite of Maran's tkifut and psak, there were, and he names the communities. He says, first and foremost, he doesn't say that. That's in Shemesh Umagen, Arav Masas Alev Shalom. He says that in Morocco, they weren't makpid on Chalak Bet Yosef. He says, glat maybe, but Chalak Bet Yosef wasn't so fire and brimstone. Kaf Chaim brings down in Paras. He says in Iran, first of all, historically also, the different communities in Iran had a lot of shechita problems and issues, and that's a different story. But even for the ones that were very frum and very makpid, they weren't always makpid on Chalak Bet Yosef. Now, there could be different reasons, and he says meforash. That being said, there could be different reasons for that, either because there wasn't so much available or whatever. You wouldn't find Sephardi communities stam flippantly, you know, not being gairus Maran on this. There has to have been a reason for it. Now, again, there are poskim that say like the Raman, like we said yesterday, Ma'arivai, Kolbo, and others, but the Maran's very very takif on the matter. There must have been some historical reason why. But that, for better or for worse, that evolved as the minhag of these kehilot. Now, question becomes, between a machloket between the Or LeTzion and Maran Zichron Lebracha, whose Yahrzeit, by the way, is coming up on
Thursday
night, yeah, Thursday night and Friday, Gimel Beman Cheshvan. The question is, when they were still in those places in Morocco and in Paras and in, I'm blanking, there were other places also that seemed to had the minhag not to be huh? Could be, yeah. So, well, over there, Chamovadia went over there to be the Rav, and there were bigger, they tried to kill him twice over kashrus.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mikol Makom, they tried to kill him.
Nice
anyway,
story.
Yeah, twice. The kitzer, the gun didn't.
The guy came to Eretz
Yisrael. Huh?
The guy came to Eretz Yisrael, tried to kill him in Eretz Yisrael.
The second time, I know. Yeah, but then he died in like some freak thing.
Was a drug trip.
Yeah, something nuts. Anyway, you mess with the bull.
You get the horns,
that's it. Anyway, Bekitzur, so the question is, once they leave these communities, there's a few Jews left in Morocco now, but not most of them have moved out, either to Eretz Yisrael, to America, to Canada, Niodama, wherever they went. Paras, how many Jews are left in Paras? They have, but not most of them moved out. The Shaila is, once the communities get up as a whole and move out, this is not specific to Chalak Bet Yosef, this is specific to many intercommunal minhagim that communities may have. Are they still bound by those minhagim? Meaning, when they move out, do those minhagim move with them, or do they leave the minhagim back behind in the places where they left and assume the new minhagim of the places where they're going? Now, obviously, this has to do with the sugya. This is all the sugya. This is a sugya and shas. Which masechet? Where would I find it? Hilchot minhagim. Hilchot minhagim. Minhag HaMakom, huh? I'm asking you, yeah. Exactly, in Psachim. Daf Nun Dalet Amud Bet, the Gemara says Meforash. Yeah, that means Perek Kol Sha'ah. Not Perek Kol Sha'ah, slicha. Perek Makom Shena'agu. Daf Nun Dalet, the Gemara.
Still on Daf Dalet.
Huh? Still on Daf Dalet. Kadima, you have to finish Shas, Maka. Yeah, you have to... Tzach Ledar. Yeah. There's Inn, there's Bekis. Daf Nun Dalet over there talks about Perek Makom Shena'agu, talks about the different Shitot about when a person leaves to go to a certain place, da'ato lachzor, in da'ato lachzor, that will impact on whether or not he leaves his minhag behind, and is that lechumra or lekula. Now, this is a very, very long-standing machloket. I'll give you another very interesting ma'im makom, a very kedai to look into. There's a very famous author that authored a sefer called She'elot u'Tshuvot Avkat Rochel.
Maran,
She'elot u'Tshuvot Avkat Rochel, written by Maran Bet Yosef, he was asked specifically this question about what to do when communities move out of their homelands and move to other places. Do they assume the new minhagim or carry on their others? Look in Siman, Resh Yud Bit. What does that spell? What's that? Yeah, sometimes minhagim can cause fights. Riv, that's how you remember it, in Avkat Rochel Shamata. Yeah, so Mikol Makom, over there Maran discusses this, and he says that it really depends how they're traveling. Are they coming as a trickle, or are they coming in droves? Meaning, if they're coming in droves, and that drove that comes in outnumbers the current inhabitants of the new place with old minhagim, then even this new place assumes the minhagim of this people. But if they're coming in a trickle, he says, kama kama batil, which means they're coming, let's say, for instance, according to this Bet Yosef and Avkat Rochel, and this was the Shita of Maran Zichron Bracha, for all the years, Ashkenazim never agreed to it, obviously, but the Yishuv, the old Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, the oldest Ashkenazim, when was the first time Ashkenazim started coming, I wouldn't say mass exodus, but Ashkenazim started coming in big numbers to Eretz Yisrael? Nope.
The Gra?
Talmidei Agra. Talmidei Agra was the first. The Gra himself tried several times to go to Eretz Yisrael, didn't happen. His Talmid, huh?
Was this 1870s?
The Talmidei Agra were about from 1850 to the early 1900s. So anyway, they ended up, so Rav Menachem Shklover, Ta'ata Shulchan, Rav Yisrael Shklover, his big Talmidim. Rav Chaim Belozner stayed behind in, he was the Gra's chief disciple, he stayed behind in Valazhin, where he passed away. But his other Talmidim made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. But the Yishuv at the time, for time immemorial, especially in Yerushalayim, has always been Sfaradim. Yerushalayim was always under Sephardic jurisdiction. During the Ottomans, during the British Mandate, it was always Sfaradim. Even Ashkenazim who came in, they came in trickles, even after the war. Even after the Holocaust, when Ashkenazim made mass exodus from Europe and started coming to Eretz Yisrael, they still came in boatloads, which were considered trickles, relative to the Yeshuv HaSfaradi that was there. Which means, according to the Shita of the Avkat Rochel, all Sfaradim that wash up on the shores of Eretz Yisrael actually are now
Ashkenazim.
The Ashkenazim, slicha. Ashkenazim who come into Eretz Yisrael now, they're now Sfaradim. Im kol ha'alachot shel ha'Sfaradim. Yeah, kol ha'alachot v'kol ha'minagim, they're now bound by Shitat Maran HaShulchan
Aruch. Like you said before, a controversy.
Yeah, I'm saying that. No, I'm just, Poskei Ashkenaz didn't necessarily accept that opinion, obviously, as you can see.
Huh? I wonder why.
Mm-hmm. Same thing as a convert, huh? Right?
A little bit. A convert really has more of a choice because he's up in the air. He can choose.
You said in a previous show that he was default to Shulchan Aruch.
That's if he becomes a convert in Eretz Yisrael, or he can, because over there a ger doesn't have Al Titash Torat Imecha. He has no minhagim because he's new at this. Whereas a regular Jew has an inyan of Al Titul. You can't just okay poof. You know, this doesn't work for me. I'm just gonna assume minhagi Ashkenaz or even for Ashkenazi, I'm just going to assume minhage Chabad. No, everybody's got to follow their own minhagim. Now, that influenced a lot why Rav Frank and others implemented this thing of Basar Chalak also. Here's another surprise for you. This is something that if you're not in the world of Rabbanut or, you know, Ishut, Gitin and stuff like that, you wouldn't know. There are many differences between Maran and Rama, Minhage Sfarad and Minhage Ashkenaz, with regards to Ktivat Get. There are many differences in spelling and other... Huh? Ktivat Get.
The names, right?
Huh? Names, places, spellings. There's a bunch of differences. There's a lot of differences.
Format.
Huh?
Format.
Yeah, there's a lot of differences. If you want to see the major differences, you look in Siman. I'll give you the Simanim. Kuf Chavav, Kuf Chavchet, in Ibn Aizen. You'll see all the differences in the format of Gitin between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. Kuf Chavav, Kuf Chavchet, and Kuf Chavtet. Now, in Yerushalayim, this was instituted by Rav Shmuel Salant, who was the Av Bedin of the Aida Haradit for, you know, many, many years, and he was Pusik Atzum, Rav Shmuel Salant. He instituted in Yerushalayim, at least, Gitin, even Ashkenazi Gitin follow Sephardic format. So now we see Refrank instituting Sephardic meat for Ashkenazim, and you see Rav Shmuel Salant was way before Refrank. Rav Shmuel Salant said that Ashkenazi Gitin also follows Sephardim. Why? Because he says these things are too important. Nachon, Ashkenazim want to hold on to their minagim, but when you come to Atrid de Maran, when you're in the jurisdiction of Maran Shulchan Aruch, and there's so much at stake about Kashrut, about Gitin, he says, even the Poskei Ashkenaz will be willing to bend and say, you know what, for this, we accept the rulings.
The other poskim.
Huh? What?
How can he speak to the other poskim for the Rishonim?
What do you mean?
He's saying everyone else, the Rosh is willing to bend.
No, it doesn't work like that. One second. First of all, there's a halachic concept of Mara De'atra. Now, nowadays, Mara De'atra or Mar De'asra is a term that's used very loosely. You call any Rav of Hishul Marad Asr, which is nice. Marad just means master, Atra means place. Master of the place. It's, you know, it's a wonderful title, but you have to know that according to Shas and Poskim, it's not a title with regards to a Rav of Hishul. It's a halachic title that, for instance, Rabbi Eliezer was Marad Atra in this place, the Gemara says, in Masechet Shabbat, in the 19th period, in Kolosh Rabbi Eliezer, Hayu Kortim Aitzim La'asot Pechamim La'asot Yizmeh Lamul B'Shabbat. They used to, Rabbi Eliezer held, not only is Mila Dochat Shabbat, even Machshirei Mila Dochim Ta Shabbat. Therefore what? According to him, you could cut down trees and make coals to melt down knives, to make the knife, to do Mila. Bimkomo Shel Rabbi Yose, in Shel Rabbi Yose HaGalili, Hayo Ochlim Besar Of Bechalav. Rabbi Yose HaGalili was in the Galil, in Tzipori, and they used to eat Besar Of Bechalav. He held, Marad Atra is a halachic device which makes you bound to the chief halachic authority of the place. That's what it means.
So you can eat chicken and dairy where Rabbi Yossi lived?
Correct. Yes, that's what they did. Nothing to do with... Jews can't have chadash. Let's be honest for a second. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what he's trying to... Huh?
If he lives with the Bach.
Huh?
If he lives with the Bach, then everything would be...
The Bach wasn't matir chadash. The Bach can't be matir isur meforash batorah. That's what the Bach does. You got to put in a request for the next series. Yeah? Yeah. So we have to know where to...
Controversies part two.
And, huh?
What did he do? Like, how did they get like a head there?
Now we're in Chalak right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, No, put in the request. You have what I'm saying? No, tzarich ledat. Now you're already getting. You're walking around now with more halachot, more concepts, more shitot. Now you know what Yosef is with lat, with kasher. What's on the? You have to. You know, before you start using a weapon, you have to know how to use it. You have what I'm saying? A weapon is only as good as the person who's wielding it. Not chas v'shalom that the Torah is a weapon, but the Torah is a weapon. The Torah is our weapon to protect her, to fortify ourselves. About olam hazeh. You have to know mina gid mi. Yeah, yeah. It's a machlekes Rambam and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Yeah. What? You know, machloket. You know, it's machloket. You know, Chamuvadi and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. What are you saying? You have to know mina gid mi. You have to know who the shitot are, when they live, what did they say. You have what I'm saying? It doesn't work like that. Now, therefore, when the
Does everyone agree to Maran's trickle versus?
No. Apparently, Poskei Ashkenaz didn't, because they didn't stop. Ashkenazim, when they got to Eretz Yisrael, they didn't just stop all Minhagei Ashkenaz cold turkey. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But within the Sfaradim, everyone holds it like that?
Not necessarily, because there's plenty of Minhagei Sfarad that are at least Minhagim that Sephardic communities or Middle Eastern communities had, or North African communities had in their lands that were contrary to Da'at Maran. So let's assume for a second that Minhag Kadum, Minhag is Mevatel Alacha. The Rivash says so, Meforash, as does the Maharik in Shoresh Pegima, he says Meforash. But the question is, that's when it's a Minhag, where it was originated in their place. The question is, when they leave that place, what is the validity of that Minhag? Do they bring it with them? Dat, Maran Zichrono Lebracha, Maran Chacham Avadia, is that even if entire group moves together, for instance, you had mass exoduses of Sfaradim to Eretz Yisrael, you had the Moroccan exodus, you had the Yemenite exodus, yet and many. There's plenty of Moroccan minhagim that are against Maran. Plenty. There's plenty of minhagei Teman that are against Maran. And I'm sure as you go into different communities, there's plenty of minhagei any keilah that's against Maran. The question is, Maran holds, when Maran Zichrono Lebracha holds, that when these communities come to Eretz Yisrael, you are immediately bound by the Maran de Atra, which is Maran Abet Yosef. And you have to stop your minhagim cold turkey. That's why, I don't know if you're aware, but Maran Zichrono Lebracha playfully and sometimes very vocally messed with a lot of minhagim Morocco. A lot of them. A lot of them because...
Huh? Lights for Shabbat?
No, that's you're talking about Yom Tov. That's a different story. No. But he messed with a lot of their minhagim and he used to say, he says, Katub b'pasu ki misiyon tetze Torah. לא, he says, מרוקאים חושבים שהמנהגים שלהם ירדו מהשמיים. כתוב, כי מציון תצא תורה. לא ממרוקו תצא תורה, מציון כתוב. Used to be, why? Because he wanted to bring everybody into the fold and unify the Sfaradim at least under the banner of Maran Shulchan Aruch at least while in Eretz Yisrael. For the most part, it worked. For the most part. But you do still have some very, very vocal poskim in other communities that still... You know, for instance, Iraqis. Iraqis also have many different minhagim, like the Ben Ishchai, that go against Maran. And even in Eretz Yisrael, that was the whole saga over there. Now, that's Maran Zichrono Lebracha, that they have to give up their minhagim as soon as they get into Eretz Yisrael. Chaim Ben Tzion, in his earlier Sfarim also, but especially in Chelek He of Or Letzion, he says it's not the case. He says if there is such a legitimate minhag, if there's... Sfaradim, for instance, like I told you, you have to find out what your... Now, even not all cities in those places had the same minhagim. You have to find out, to the best of your ability, what the minhag was in this city where you came from. Was there minhag kadum with regards to Chalak Bet Yosef? Or Letzion says you can continue if you want. Maran Zichrono Lebracha would say, once you came to Eretz Yisrael, stop, drop, and roll. You have to adapt Chalak Bet Yosef immediately. Huh? So much so, we know... What happens when a Sfaradiya, when a Sephardi girl marries an Ashkenazi guy? What's the halacha?
Ashkenaz.
She's Ashkenaziya now, nachon? Says Maran Zichrono Lebracha and Chazon Ovadia Pesach. That's all fine and well. He says, what about with regards to Kitniot? What's the halacha?
If she goes to her father's house.
The halacha is, if she goes to her parents' house for Pesach, she may continue to eat Kitniot. Why? Sfaradiya, she started off with Da'at Maran, she's going to end with Da'at Maran. Kachazi. But it works the other way too. Once she marries an Ashkenazi, Ashkenazi eats glat, eats nachon. He's not makpid on Chalak Bet Yosef. She still has to. She still has to eat Chalak Bet Yosef, even though her husband doesn't. Why? Because
he's
huh?
Fish
and dairy is not isur. That's minhagim. That's only inan shel sakana. But he says the binding of Marad Atra, the binding of Marana Bet Yosef is so strong in Eretz Yisrael. Even though now she takes on the minhagim of her husband, the minhagim of Maran preceded that of her husband. Oh, so that's the question. Maran Zichron Vercha, all these discussions that we've been having are in Eretz Yisrael. What happens outside of Eretz Yisrael? When you have these big communities that, you know, you have these mass exoduses, or probably say exodai, exoduses, I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, so you have one of these things and they move to anywhere but Eretz Yisrael. Nachon, Maran was Marad HaTorah in Eretz Yisrael, but in the rest of the world, obviously, is the posek for the whole world. But his place of, you know, where he was most active was Eretz Yisrael. What about the rest of the world?
It's,
Iran to well,
two
gardens to Gretna.
Anyway, there's a stop over it.
In Ezra. Anyway, Bekitzur. Yeah. So, Mikol Makom, the question is, what do you do over there? Many poskim understand from Maran Zichron Vercha that the same would apply. That as long as they left the place where the minhag was accepted and formed, they left that place, mass exodus, the halacha is, whether they go to Eretz Yisrael or not, they immediately default to dat Maran Bet Yosef. That's what Maran Zichron Vercha is. There's many poskim, like Rav Masas and Or Letzion and others that disagree. So now, just telling you, why am I bringing you all this? To say that if there's any Sfaradim among us who are not necessarily so makpid on basar kedat manan bet Yosef, halak ledat manan bet Yosef, and they have a legitimate family minhag, I'm not going to tell you that you should continue, but you certainly have on whom to rely. There's Gdolei Olam, the Kaf HaChaim brings it down, Shemesh HaMagen brings it down, Or Letzion brings it down. There are such minhagim like that, so you don't have to go crazy. Now, if you don't have such an ironclad minhag that tells you that they weren't makpid on Chalak Bet Yosef, your family or your city or whatever it is, then technically, since you're Sfaradi and you don't have such an ironclad minhag, what should you be doing? Obviously, defaulting to Chalak Bet Yosef. The Shaila becomes, which is what we're going to discuss tomorrow, Bezat Hashem, tomorrow evening, next halacha class, is what to do when I'm trying my best to be makpid, and usually I am, but there are circumstances beyond our control where we're not able to be makpid. Namely, yeshiva, eating out, Shabbat, b'yamim tovim, even family sometime, yeah? In-laws, lam shane. What do you do in situations where you're trying your best? Is that asur mitam isur? Is it isur mitam neder? Don't forget, the dafyam is starting nedarim in 2 days. So, yeah, b'zat Hashem. So, Rabbi San. I have to leave you with a cliffhanger, otherwise you're not going to come back tomorrow. That's for that. Tonight, just a word for tonight. Tonight is a Musar session. We have to figure out what we're doing for this month for Musar. You want to take a poll and let me know? Yeah, let me know for tonight. So I'll be back tonight. Bezat Hashem. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.